Hello and welcome to episode 333 of Spring is a Geek. I'm Pat.
I'm Emmer.
And this is our Week in Geek. This week we bring you our review of... We bring you our
spoiler
review of Ford versus Ferrari. Our streaming review of They Shall Not Be Forgotten.
They Shall Not Grow Old.
Yeah, damn it.
Apparently they will be forgotten. Damn.
That won't be the last time I say that either.
Yep.
Some nerd news. We'll obviously bring you our... pod question, some brief spoiler-free reviews as well.
Yeah.
And then we'll go ahead and get out of here. So,
I don't know. It sounded almost like you had like a good little...
I just want all this crap out of my lungs.
Honestly, it sounded like a car, so that was like very appropriate.
I hate all this shit in my lungs, and it happens every year, and I always get bronchitis like every year around this time. And it angers me. So I'm hoping that like by the time this weekend is over, it's gone. But what you playing?
Nothing. Fuck, man. I beat Final Fantasy VIII and I want to start Rise of the Tomb Raider because I want to work back all the way through and I never played Shadow of the Tomb Raider. But then I had to update my Xbox and that took 2 hours and then I ended up just watching the streamer movie. So I haven't played really jack shit. Been out and busy. What about you?
I'm working on Final Fantasy VIII. That's basically all I've had time to play, and that's because you can pick it up in segments.
Yeah. I did pick up 7 again, actually.
Rest mode is such a beast. I fucking love rest mode so much.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's so perfect for, and especially these old, the old school RPGs of, you know, 7, 8, 9, and where you can just pause it, pick it up, keep going, pause it, pick it up. Like, it's so perfect, and I love it.
I think the only part that's pretty bad is that Jackie's now playing Horizon again, so I can't leave it all the way in rest
that's
mode.
That's who was playing Horizon.
Yep.
I was like, huh, he's playing Horizon, huh?
She loves that shit.
I fucking love that
she
game.
Has the music turned up so loud, when I'm in the bedroom, I can hear go, whoop-boom, 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 because it's the damn sound of, like, the pulsing thing. Cracks me the fuck up.
Yeah, I love Horizon.
I want to play it again.
I'm sad they only did one DLC.
I am too. I kind of wanted them to do like at least one more.
Yeah.
Because Frozen Wilds was fun.
Yeah, I mean, I love Horizon. I didn't think I would like it as much as I would.
Yeah.
I was like, this looks... All the previews and everything, I was like, this looks really cool. I'm interested in this. It's still my game of the generation.
It's a really fucking
good game. I love Horizon, and I cannot wait for H2.
I hope... I'm wondering, because Jackie beat it as well, but imagine playing Horizon with Frozen Wilds without it knowing that it's an expansion, just keep playing it. Because the problem is I beat the game and then played it afterwards, but playing it all the way through, I'd have so much fucking fun.
That's what I did on my second playthrough.
I haven't played through second time yet. I need to go play, because I also did that, and I really want to play through God of War again, because fuck. You do and you don't?
I do and I don't, yeah. Because there's an investment to God of War.
You have to learn the systems. Like, you have to feel comfortable. I feel like you have to get... Especially when you get to Valkyrie fights. I'm like, you need to know yourself.
You just need to block and roll and hit. Like, once you hit your first few encounters, you've got it down. The fun thing of...
I didn't. It took me a lot of
fun
work.
The fun thing about God of War the first time you play it is... you don't quite have it down. And it throws you into fights, and it's like, go figure it out. And you're just like, okay.
That's the closest to Dark Souls like games I think I want to get.
Yeah. Well, and Fallen Order came out this week, and I hear really good things, and I'm hearing it's Dark Souls-esque.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with esque.
Yeah.
Because God of War is Dark Souls-esque.
And I dig it.
Yeah, because I didn't feel that it murdered me because... It didn't like me.
Yeah, it murdered me because it cared.
Like,
and it's trying to teach me a lesson, right?
Yeah, like if it murdered me, I was like, oh, I got too cocky, or I did this, or I did that, and I didn't feel that I lost experience when I died. Like, it would just pop you back in and be like, okay, go back to the fight.
Try again.
As opposed to being like, ah, sucks to be you.
Yep.
That's all I'm playing.
Do you really want to go back and play Horizon again? Yeah. God, I'm excited for 2.
I cannot wait for 2. Mm. All right, so we're going to go ahead and get to our spoiler-free review of
Thrilled.
Ford versus Ferrari. As you've seen from the trailers, it's basically telling the story of Carroll Shelby building a Ford to take on Ferrari at Le Mans, which is a 24-hour race in Paris.
Well, France. It's not actually in Paris. Am I splitting hairs right now? Is that what
you're doing? You'd be kind of.
Okay.
Fine. Francais. Matt Damon is Carroll Shelby. And Christian Bale is Ken LeMond. Ken LeMond.
No, Ken.
Where did I get Miller? Ken LeMond from? Ken Miles.
Miles.
Ken LeMond. That's a good name, though.
His name is Ken LeMond. It was named after him, but he never got to drive the thing until later.
That is a good name, though. Wow.
Because it's Ken the Man.
Ding the Bean.
Oh, my God. No. Fuck. Yes, so it's fun.
I enjoyed this movie a lot.
I was hoping, because the trailers were so fucking engaging, that I was hoping the movie could live up to it.
Yeah.
And it does.
Yeah.
It's not the same punchiness of the trailers, but that's the trailer.
Right.
But it's engaging enough to keep you going, and the acting is honestly pretty good. Christian Bale's fucking amazing.
Christian Bale was really good in this. I mean, he's been good in a lot of things, but this was different because I saw him have a side of comedy that I haven't seen him really have.
Yeah.
He had a few like one-liners as Batman, and he's had a few things in like The Machinist, but I've never felt that he had comedic timing or a comedic presence. Yeah. And he has a lot of little one-liners, but they aren't funny one-liners. They're just his facial expression will change. His
expressions are fucking great.
He will insult another driver or another company or whatever.
He talks to himself kind of thing.
Yeah, I did really like him talking to himself while he's driving.
Because he's almost like criticizing himself and like being like, yeah, it was fun. Fuck, I had a good time.
Yeah,
and
I really like this.
I don't like race cars. Neither of us are big race fans.
All right.
I don't like cars. You actually
think turns are stupid.
Yeah. But
and I'm luckily happy, this isn't left-hand turn.
No, but. And I'm happy that it's another movie that I can enjoy that has cars in it. And it was fun, and it's historic enough that it gives me, like, weird things to, like, hey, I kind of learned a bit. Like, Shelby's was actually a person. Didn't know that. For, like, go back to Gone in 60 Seconds, where they talk about the Shelby.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought that was a nickname for a car. I didn't know that was a person made or modified, like, Mustangs and stuff. So, it's fun.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, I'd recommend it. If you can, it would be really fun in Dolby.
I do recommend it. I do recommend the best sound for it. I mean, we got an IMAX. I was like, all right, this is fine.
Yeah.
But
it's no Charlie's Angels, but...
But I do recommend it. I did enjoy it. Yeah, we both say go see
100%,
it.
100%, yeah.
If you have the chance to go and see it, we'll come back a little bit later with our spoiler-filled review. But you went and saw Charlie's Angels Full Throttle Remake, Reboot, Remaster.
Yes. I saw It's just Charlie's Angels. So I saw that, and I saw Doctor Sleep. It's been three movies in like 3 days, so it's been fun. Charlie's Angels, that's the one that took the Dolby seat, which made me very sad.
Right.
Because I don't feel like it's worth Dolby. I think it's worth like in a digital
zone. Sarah and I have a $3 bet on which will make more money. I say Ford versus Ferrari. She says Charlie's Angels.
I'm really hoping Ford does, because I really like that movie. Like,
yeah.
Ford versus Ferrari is a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie's Angels was a fun little romp. It's got some action stuff to it. To your question, is Kirsten Stewart attractive throughout? I'm like, hey, girl. I don't feel like the chemistry between the three mains is there as much as I want it to be. Like, there are sparks of it, which is fun. And, like, this is literally something where you have to have chemistry going on between the characters. Action stuff is there. But my problem is that when it does it for short bursts where you're like, hey, they're all playing together really well and all that's great. But those aren't as enough as that I want. I really saw the trailers and got really excited and was hoping for just honestly a fun romp. And it's okay. It's not bad. It's just okay. Jackie really liked it, which is good. The music's really fun. The set pieces are pretty cool. Nothing really loses me. But yeah, I just wish there was a better charisma between the three. And they kind of try to explain it through plot. Like, it makes kind of sense because they're all kind of introduced to each other in a way. But It was worth it. I had fun. I would say go see it. Like, okay. if you are intrigued by the trailers at all, you'll have fun.
Okay.
If you see the trailers and you're like, that's not my movie, this is not your movie. It's not going to change you.
All right. What about Dr. Sleep?
Fuck, I really wish I would watch The Shining before this. Like, this is a sequel. 100%. It's a sequel, but it doesn't do as many favors as I wish it would to lead you into it. It doesn't
give you a refresher?
Yeah, I saw it with a friend, and she's going, this is a sequel, right? And I'm like, yeah. She's, should I know anything about that? I'm like, I don't know. And it just kind of jumps you into it a little bit, and it takes you literally from the end of...
The Shinnin.
The Shinnin. All the way to, like, him basically... Yeah, I'm not going to do spoilers-wise, but...
Growing up.
Growing up, essentially, and how a kid grows up with having that as your experience.
Right, okay.
It's pretty freaking nuts. It's not scary. It made me jump, like, maybe 2-3 times, but they were all sound changes. Like, music just mm-hmm. does that whole stuff. And it keeps the same tone when it comes to music-wise. So, set design... Beautiful, like, I loved everything about it. It just wasn't as scary, and I was kind of maybe hoping for that. Not even, like, skin-crawly-wise. I think this is the kind of movie that if you really enjoyed The Shining, you will really like this.
Okay.
If you really didn't like The Shining, or you've never seen this, I don't think you're going to get a lot out of it.
Makes sense. I mean, it's a sequel.
It is, but it's a, what, 20, 30? 30? 40 year?
I think Shining came out in 80. So it's almost 40
years. Almost 40-year sequel. And with that being said, I think almost there should be a bigger push to go... Either it should have done more caveats, and it does a lot of callbacks, but there should have probably been a bit more. Because even with those, if you hadn't seen it, then you're probably totally lost. And I had a good frame of reference. I enjoyed it. I don't think I always enjoy Ewan McGregor's American voice, though. It's a little weird. It just feels weird.
Speaking of weird.
Yes. I'd say skip Dr. Sleep. Watch it on
the... Skip Dr. Sleep. Okay. Yep. We're going to bring you our...
It's a sleeper hit.
...streaming review of They Shall Not Be Forgotten.
Nope. They Shall Not Grow Old.
God damn it. I told you I was going to do
it. I know you were. I didn't know if it was going to be on purpose or what.
In fact, I even have it written down as They Shall Not Be Forgotten. So, I am consistent, if nothing else.
At least inconsistently consistent.
But what this does is it's a documentary on HBO. It takes audio files from the BBC and some war footage, and then eventually colorizes the war footage. And it's just a bunch of people telling stories of the war.
Yeah.
But not specific...
There's no
battles, like, of the war.
Line of anything.
Yeah, they're just telling what the war was like, what it was... what it was like in the trenches and on the front line. I did like, you know, it starts, I did like how they didn't care who you were.
Yeah.
Basically a dude comes up and he's like, how old are you? 16. He's like, you should go outside and find some more birthdays.
Yes, exactly.
I was like, that's so good. It's
fucking
But it's cheap. True. Cause yeah. They needed as many bodies basically as they could get. When it gets to the colorization, that is fucking weird.
Mm-hmm.
And We had talked about this, of an uncanny valley.
Yeah.
It's weird. It looks almost like, if you've been to Disneyland and been in Haunted Mansion, you have those holographic images.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It looks like a holographic image was put on top of somebody else's face, so you almost have, like, two faces at the same time. Like, I couldn't get past that. Like, it was so rough to see. I wish they'd just kept it black and white.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand the war was brutal, and it was a real change in the way that war was done, because, you know, you had horses at the beginning, and then you had machines basically at the end,
yeah.
And mustard gas in between, and... But I wasn't engrossed in this. Like, I just felt that it was just telling me, like, hey, there was a war, and it was bad for people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Do you have anything else you're gonna tell me? Well, it was really bad. Yeah. I mean, I expect war to be bad, but what else you got? Bad war.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get enough out of this to appreciate what it was trying to give me.
I'm honestly on the same wavelength. I love historic
mm-hmm.
films. I like the idea of going back and looking at it. I really like the modern take on reviewing it in retrospect and kind of dissecting it a little bit, but I liked what this movie was trying to do, but I feel like it could have achieved all of that in 20 to 30 minutes, where it just, like, to your point, war is bad.
Yeah, that's, and they talk about 2 hours long.
Yeah, and they talk about the idea of the people's experiences. They talk about it, which is real, and I like
right.
that. But there, because there was no real through narrative to keep me engaged, I got bored. Because you were right, hearing the same thing. It was like having the uncle or grandpa or just friend who doesn't stop telling stories, but they just happen to do it in multiple voices. There's a lot there. There's a lot of like crazy shit where people are saying, yeah, I just saw this one guy. He's a very handsome chap. I mean, his chest was totally clean blown off, but yeah, he's a handsome chap. And and they were telling about their whole thing with how prisoners were just inconvenient. They would try to scoot them back off so they could fight them later on because they didn't want to carry for prisoners and stuff. But again, what the movie was could have been achieved in 20, 30 minutes. I would have liked them to do more of a, like, again, analytical or something. Something to actually give us something of a through line. Here's how the war started. Here's how the war ended. Let's talk about the idea of the armistice and everything. Just all that shit. But it just kind of, it's cobbled together and it's very haphazard.
Yeah.
And it feels that way concerning how much they must have invested to try to get the footage, bring it up to spec.
Right.
Do the colorizing. There's like a couple of times where this guy falls down in a ditch and gets back up and he looks so weird, to your point. There's two of them for a little while.
Yeah.
Because their colorization's trying to follow.
There was smoke coming off of guns that looked way, way fake.
Yeah. It was just weird.
Like, just, I would have rather... And I might have liked it more if it just stayed black and white.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know because I still wasn't engaged with the story it was giving me or what it was trying to tell me. But, yeah, it just wasn't...
I was a little sad by it.
Yeah. All right, so we both say skip.
Yeah.
They Shall Not Grow Old.
Good man.
I had to look.
Yes.
And then I was like, okay, so it's not that. What is it? So for this week's streaming review, I'm going to suggest that we watch Creed 2 on Amazon Prime.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm super excited for this.
Did you see the new movie Michael B. Jordan's in? The one with Jamie, I think it's Jamie Foxx is in it too?
No.
It's the one where he's like a lawyer trying to like go down south to try to get people that like literally black men who are on death row for no crimes kind of thing like that.
Is Michael B. Jordan the lawyer?
Yeah, he is. I'm, like, so sold on that.
And Jamie Foxx is the convict?
Yes. I'm so sold on this. Oh. I saw that, and what is it? Brie Larson's in there as well, and a couple other people. But I'm, fuck, I want to see it so bad. It looks good. I love Michael B. Jordan so much.
Dude, me too. As always, if you have anything you want us to watch... Oh. B. Jordan. On Amazon Prime, Hulu, Netflix, HBO Go. Oh, my HBO God,
that's
Go,
why they say
or...
Michael B. Jordan. Because otherwise it would be Michael Jordan. Motherfucker.
Disney Plus, let us know.
Oh, yeah, because that's a thing.
Bat and Hammer on gmail.com, Bat and Hammer on Twitter, Spriggins and Geek on Facebook. You reach me, I am at Taru Skippy.
I'm at Grand Kalis. Make sure to like us, love us, and Michael Jordan, motherfucker, how long did it take me to figure that out? That's so stupid, but beautiful. Every Monday morning on SoundCloud, iTunes, and Stitcher. Please make sure to like us, love us, and download us. And
oh my God.
Point out more obvious things that I apparently missed.
Oh my God. All right, so we're going to go ahead and get to this week's nerd news. I guess we should talk about Disney Plus.
I mean,
but
you can.
Yeah, you have not experienced it. You haven't even watched The Mandalorian.
No, we watched Monsters, Inc.
Okay, that's
which I have on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
But that's right. What we watched.
I watched the first episode of Mandalorian. Even though this is on streaming,
everyone in my work has watched the first episode of Mandalorian.
Everyone on the internet has. I'm going to give you a reprieve. I'm not going to go too deep into spoiler stuff. I liked it. I didn't love it. I did like it. There are some tonal issues. Like at the very beginning, the Mandalorian walks in to
a cantina
to collect a bounty, and the dude who plays the alien is a stand-up comedian. And it feels like he was cast in another TV show and went to the wrong set.
Oh my God.
Like, he just feels off.
Okay.
And there's another scene where it kind of channels, like, Phantom Menace kind of...
Okay.
Like, slapsticky stuff.
Okay.
But for the most part, it's really solid. There's a lot of pretty good action in it. There's a few kind of... what's going on here type of things. It's only, I think the first episode was like 40 minutes long. Like, okay. It's not very long at all.
That's perfect.
Yeah, it's...
Second one already came out, right?
The second one already came out, and hopefully you get to watch that one soon.
I'm going to try to watch them later this weekend. Good. We'll see.
But I liked it. I'm excited to see where this goes.
How do you like the interface in general for Disney Plus? Do you like it? Have you really surfed around much else otherwise?
The first day was hot garbage.
Okay.
Kind of figured. We logged in. You can change your profile picture. I couldn't change my profile picture.
Oh, okay.
Like, you would click the button, it would just be this blank screen. I did a search for Star Wars Rebels, because I know Rebels is supposed to be on there. Mm-hmm. And I haven't seen it, so I wanted to watch Rebels. I did search for Rebels, and nothing came up. And he was talking to Heather Lifeman. He's like, no, it's there. I have it on mine. So, like, everybody had a bunch of problems. We watched...
They had over 10 million or 8
million? 10 million one day.
And I'm like...
Which makes sense. I wish they had released it early for annual pass holders.
Yeah.
Not The Mandalorian, but just like here's Disney Plus. You can go ahead and download it like a week early.
Yeah, just so they can kind of stress test the servers.
Yeah. You can't get into things that don't launch on this date. Okay, yeah. And? But you have people that get into it, and all it is a bunch of old stuff. Like, mm-hmm. There's really nothing new on it.
Except for Mando.
Mando's new. There's a Christmas movie new. There's also that Jeff Goldblum thing is new.
The musical. What is it? High School Musical.
High School Musical, the TV show, the musical.
Yeah.
I think it's exactly what it is.
I think it is.
So, like, there's a few things, but majority of things on there are old vault stuff. Mm-hmm. So why didn't you release it earlier for annual pass holders?
I don't know.
But whatever. I don't run Disney, or else I would change Star Wars and make it good. Maybe that's what Mandalorian's doing. But we watched The Mandalorian, and then we started watching Rogue One. And Rogue One, once it was playing fine, because we're going back through the saga again. Mm-hmm. That's the only one I haven't picked up yet.
Do they have the other movies on there, or just Rogue One?
They have all the other movies except for, I think Last Jedi isn't on there, and Solo isn't on there.
Really?
Solo's still under contract with Netflix for a little while, and I think Last Jedi is the same thing.
Okay.
But for the most part, everything's on there except for Spider-Man. Hopefully, we'll never be on there because it's Sony. Oops.
Oh my god, is it really not on there?
Yeah.
Ah.
Because it's Sony.
Ah. Just entertained by it.
But I guess they changed again A New Hope, where when Greedo gets shot, he says McClunky.
Why?
I guess McClunky is like, your time is up or whatever, blah, 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 in Grodian.
Okay.
Or Rodian, not Grodian. Cool. Rodian. But, like...
Whatever.
Okay. I
heard the upheaval about Simpsons, but it's not the one we're thinking of about the Lisa episode, but the aspect ratio.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that. We might as well talk about the Simpsons. So there's two things with the Simpsons, because it's on there as well, is one... The aspect ratio, it's zoomed in, so you're missing a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And why they did that, I have no idea.
I have no idea. That makes no sense.
It makes no sense to me. And
like, if you give that as an option, cool, if people want to do it. But I'm like,
no. But there are people doing, like, side-by-sides. I'd be like, look what you're missing. And there's quite a few in-jokes that you're missing because you
can't see it.
And then they...
Speaking of in-jokes.
Oh, no. But also,
there's more.
There's more. The Simpsons season 3 episode 1 is not on Netflix.
And you're like, oh, it's not very significant.
Is that the one where they go to the Disneyland theme park and Lisa's gets drunk and it's a small world?
Yeah,
no, that's not it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's the one really where
influential one.
It's the one where they find the. Is he a sanitation worker?
I think so. I can't remember. I think he's a janitorial staff. Yeah, I think like, so.
And well, Homer finds him in an asylum.
It's insane asylum, yes.
Michael Jackson episode is not on Disney Plus.
Which is
really
odd, because one, it's a beautiful episode.
It's
whatever you say about otherwise, but that's
right. Like, Michael Jackson is trash, but the episode's really good.
Mm-hmm.
And especially at the end where Bart sings.
Oh my god, it's so gorgeous.
Yeah. I love that episode, and it's not on there.
And that's just odd. Again, of the things to censor, it's just odd.
Yeah, and...
Because that's an intentional not ad.
Oh, they totally kept that out of there on purpose.
But such an odd thing to, like, take some but not all.
Because, well, I mean, because it's Michael Jackson, but, yeah. like... Okay? Like, I want to go back, and I thought, I could be wrong, but I thought Cosby at one point had been a voice on there. Like,
and everyone's had to have been a voice
at some point. Yeah, and so I'm just like, you're picking it...
Picking odd battles.
It's revisionist history.
Yep.
Where... I almost feel like this is kind of whitewashing history of, like, we need to take away all the bad things so that people can't be pro to it. But on some of their old cartoons, like Dumbo with the crows and everything, they have essentially, like, a trigger warning, like, hey, these things were wrong then, they're wrong now.
Do they have a trigger warning in there?
Kind of, but it's just like, you know how Warner Brothers did the thing with their old cartoons? They were like, these are cartoons that were aired at their time. They don't depict our values, but we want
to... I don't even remember that part,
but... They basically have the same thing.
Oh, okay.
And I just... It just seems like a weird episode to pull.
Like, I mean, if you were to say, like, hey, publicize, this is the Michael Jackson episode.
Right.
Which now they've essentially done. If they do add it, they've reversed creative publicity.
And remember, this is the only place you can get them now.
Yep.
Hooray for Disney owning everything!
Yeah, it's always a good idea. Fantastic. It used to be on FXX, I think, and you can watch them all there. Yep. It'd be no problem.
Yeah, no. Now.
Now it's, you know, Disney XXX.
I should have brought a pen in here so I could have wrote down some stuff. All right.
That's all right. Always time for later, if you remember.
We have a release date for Black Adam coming out in December of 2021. I guess it's still going to happen.
Happening? Okay. Is The Rock still it?
The Rock is still Black Adam currently.
Alright, cool.
I have no excitement.
I mean, I have a little excitement because I really like Shazam.
Yeah, I really like Shazam. So,
if Black Adam just turns into, like, a BVS of, you know, Shazam being in there and then Black Adam being in there and then, cool, I'm more on board with that.
Really?
Yeah.
BVS is trash.
No, but I mean, like, as in, like, you have, that was your Batman movie, but it wasn't really a Batman movie. Mm-hmm. What if this is a Black Adam movie, but it's not really a Black Adam movie? It's technically Shazam 2. I'd be okay with that because I would get more Shazam. And Shazam would be good with a better villain, so maybe it's a really good villain. Right. I don't know.
All right. Deadspin got told to stick to sports. And so...
You said I knew of Deadspin. I have not heard of them. You've
totally heard of Deadspin. They're a big thing on the internet.
Okay.
I mean... I'm sure you've heard of Deadspin. You've probably clicked links and just didn't realize you were going to Deadspin, but you've heard of Deadspin. But the suits were basically like, hey, stop with kind of the political talk and just do sports, essentially.
Were they always sports mainly?
No, not... I mean, they started kind of like as a sports, an offshoot of sports thing, but then... They started doing more opinion pieces and such, and so they came back of like, these are the employees mm-hmm. basically were going to Twitter of like, hey, here's our tracking data for what we're showing on our clicks on our stories, and by far the ones you don't want us to write are our most clicked stories. Yeah. And it's the same company that owns Kotaku. So Kotaku had put out a tweet saying of just like they had shitty ads basically playing on their videos would just like randomly appear or just randomly appear on their websites mm-hmm. of when you're reading an article. And so like Jason Schreier was like, hey guys, we're trying to get some data. If you hate these things, can you let us know? And then a few hours later, he had to change kind of his tweet and everything. So it's kind of like the staff with Deadspin and Kotaku is raging war with their higher ups,
yeah. Which is good, because...
I mean, I guess, but... Like, I understand what they want to do,
because yeah.
they write, but again, you're employed.
Mm-hmm.
If your employer doesn't want you to do that...
I mean... Yeah, but they're... So they're owners rather than employers, because employers would be would actually be the heads of Kotaku. And the heads of Deadspin. Deadspin and Kotaku have head stakeholders above them. That's whoever the suits are, right? So technically, the way I would look at it is that if you're working for a business that, let's say, let's use Ford. You're working for Ford, or you're working for Ferrari, and then Fiat now owns it. You still work for Ferrari, but if Fiat starts doing weird shit, you're probably going to revolt, saying, hey, that's not again. That's not what we're here for. That's not what our core values are. You can be a business and still have core values that do conflict with the stakeholders of your
business. However, they can still be like, sucks to be you. This is what you're doing.
Oh, absolutely. It's one of those, you take a risk when you're doing it.
Right, right.
If they were bitching about the...
I'm not saying their shareholders are in the right, because I think they're more in the wrong on this, but they are your employers.
Yeah.
And if they say, no, this is what we want you to do, you basically have two options of, like, either A, do what they want you to do, or B, you can quit.
I mean, C is don't do what they do, and then them fire you.
You can try to rage war, which is kind of what Kotaku and Deadspin are doing, and it'll be interesting to see if they can get the upper hand.
I think it's like one of those, I'm really curious about all the shit that happened before this, because there's no way that this just happened once out of the blue and everything like that. There must have been a whole bunch of conversations we've never seen.
Oh, of course.
And those are the ones I'm really curious about, because this is a power play by them saying, we've lost so many fights, we have to do this. They don't do this as first options, I would imagine. It's like last, so I'm really curious. It's one of those things we'll never know.
Yeah.
And I'm so pissed because it's so
different. Which sucks because Jason Schreier works for Kotaku, and he's usually the type of person that can get to the bottom of these sort of things.
Really good, yeah.
In gaming journalism, and I highly doubt that if he does come out with something, that it'll make like the staff at Kotaku and Deadspin look bad.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
they were in the wrong
somewhere. It's not something he could do.
I mean, he could, but not it's something that he would do, because he wouldn't want to go against his... He wouldn't want to be basically a scab.
Yeah.
And, which makes sense, and I mean,
it's crazy.
Yeah, the internet's fun.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Why don't you just create your own stuff that nobody likes?
That nobody likes.
We've got our first look at the new Sonic trailer with new Sonic. Okay.
Cool. Looks like Sonic.
I mean, he looks better, but it still looks like a shitty movie.
I mean, the movie.
And I need I want all of these people that were pissed off about the way he looked to go see this movie. Like, this movie better make close to $100 million this opening weekend, and it won't. And it'll be like, you bunch of bitches. It wasn't a movie made for you. It was a movie made for kids.
Yeah.
And because you wanted it to look different, they changed it, which the rumor is, this was the way it was originally, and then Suits came in and changed it, and then it went back. That's why they were able to update it so quickly.
Huh.
We'll see. I mean, we'll never
know. Again, I would really want to know that story. Right?
Because he looks so much better now.
He does. He looks more like the character.
He's more like Sonic.
Yeah. I mean,
as opposed to a colorized version of Sonic from black and white footage.
They shall not grow old.
Yeah.
Shall not be forgotten. The poor movie will probably be forgotten for Sonic. I will see it, because...
Will we?
Yes.
Will we?
We will.
Please let something else come out that weekend.
No, we'll see it. Don't worry.
Speaking of coming out that weekend...
They shall be seen.
It'll never come out. The Uncharted movie has been around so long...
I really love this title.
...that Mark Wahlberg... who was once cast as Nathan Drake, has now been cast as his old man mentor, Sully.
In
2010, he was cast as Nathan Drake.
I was just overjoyed by reading the title. Because whoever wrote that the first time, fucking bravo to you. I mean, we all wish we were there first, but goddamn, that was gorgeous.
I still don't think this movie.
I don't think it'll ever. I don't think it needs to happen.
I mean,
it could be a fun movie, but I think it's way past
another Indiana Jones movie. It doesn't have to be Indiana Jones.
Yeah. It's just an adventure movie.
Yeah.
Same thing with Tomb Raider and Lara Croft. Could have been good if it didn't just try to repeat the same steps.
It was a shot for shot of the first game.
100% was. And except for the game was more exciting.
Well, yeah.
But, yeah, I don't see this movie happening. And then next he's going to be like the grandpa of Sully or something like that, because that's how long it's going to take.
I mean, he's going
to
be...
Tom Holland will move to Sully. He'll move there. They'll just like hopscotch. It'll be great.
It's ridiculous. We got a new trailer for Scoob, which is an origin story of how Scooby and Shaggy and the Mystery Gang get together.
I didn't even know this was on the, like, anywhere. I didn't even know that was even existing.
What if I told you this was on our Facebook page?
What if I told you I don't look at that Facebook page nearly as much?
You're not the only one.
I know. Oh, snap. Pop. So my only reserve is I don't like Scooby-Doo.
He sounds so odd.
No, I don't like Scooby-Doo in general. Like, the Mystery Machine and all that stuff like that. I know of them. Consciously, I'm aware of them. I have the hots for Velma. Now, Orange?
Yeah, Velma is orange. Yes. Daphne's the...
Yes. Oh, 100%. I'm like, good Lord. But this looks kind of cute. Doesn't look like my kind of thing. It's the same way...
It looks fun.
It looks more enjoyable than the Addams Family trailer, which I was like so off board on that. I didn't even want that to exist kind of thing. It looks cute. It's it's a different take. You don't have anything where they talk too much about origin stories, I don't think, with Shaggy and...
I don't remember. All I know is they've always been together.
Yeah.
I don't know how they got together, but they've always been together.
I did get a little bit of... No, never mind. I'll say it later, because that's just... No. It looks kind of cute. That's about it. Like, I really wish I liked Scooby-Doo more, because there's a ton of people that love it.
Speaking of things that I don't like...
Yeah.
We got a new trailer for SpongeBob SquarePants, his next movie.
He has a movie?
And Keanu Reeves plays a tumbleweed.
I mean, now I'm sold. That's so dumb. Oh my god. Please tell me the tumbleweed doesn't even talk.
Oh no, it is Keanu Reeves. Like, you know the Teletubbies?
Mm-hmm.
How the baby was in the sun?
Yeah.
It's Keanu Reeves in the tumbleweed.
Oh my god, I'm so sold. I was hoping in a weird way that they were going to say that in Keanu Reeves as a tumbleweed, the tumbleweed doesn't say a damn thing.
It just rolls by. Whoa.
It doesn't even do that. It just goes.
Just like.
And he's credited as the tumbleweed.
What was it? Roger in South Park was George Clooney for a while.
Roger?
Not Roger. God, what was his dog's name? Was it Spot?
Oh, fuck. I can't remember. Stan's dog, right?
Yeah.
It was George Clooney?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's...
like, you can just credit for the fuck of it. That's what I wanted. But that sounds so dumb.
It sounds so dumb. I don't care about SpongeBob at all, so I probably will never see this.
Just, I don't know if I'll see it either, honestly. I'll say I will, but probably not.
So we're going to go ahead and get to our pod question. This week it was brought to us by my buddy over here, Hammer.
I wanted to know, what is your second favorite war movie? Not your first, because I feel like firsts are pretty often pretty common, maybe, or pretty similar. But second, I'm really curious about and was a little surprised about. So we got one answer?
We got an answer from our buddy TK, and he went with Saving Private Ryan.
Which I had to ask the subsequent question, what is your first?
Black Hawk Down.
Which is a good one.
Which is a very good one.
I don't think it's better, but it's a good one.
He even says, he's like, I recognize that Saving Private Ryan is a better movie.
But he enjoys it more.
Yeah, which I totally get, because I
watched that for school.
Jedi is my favorite Star Wars movie, and I recognize that Empire is the better
movie. Yeah, I gotcha.
The good Jedi, not the bad one.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I wouldn't, you know.
Nobody would. My hetero life mate went with Glory. That's a really good one with Denzel.
Yeah.
That's a really, I haven't seen that in a long time. I wanted to go with Last Samurai, but then I realized it's not a war movie.
Oh, okay, so you're going with this, okay.
Because, like, there is war, but it's not a war movie. Yeah. At least I don't feel it is.
No, I guess.
And, so I started with, okay, well, I'm gonna go with Johnny Got His Gun. And
I've heard that one.
Johnny, that's the song One by Metallica, that's what the song is, the video is based on. It's, at one point it was, banned during wartime because of how bad it makes war look.
Okay.
But it's a dude who goes off to war. He's a kid. He's 18, 19, 20. And he's hit with a bomb and arms and legs are blown off. Loses sight, loses the ability to talk, loses everything. He's just a potato, essentially. He's still alive. He can hear, but he can't communicate in any way.
Oh my god.
And so you have the medical professionals, like, keeping him alive, and the military professionals of, like, well, shouldn't you kill him? They're like, we can't do that. That's against our code to kill him. Like, he should be dead. We don't want him to be alive, but we can't kill him, because, like, that's just wrong. And so they're going back and forth, and they're having conversations over his, essentially, dead body, but he's alive. And he's hearing all these things, and eventually he starts Morse coding with one of the nurses. Like, but he can't tell when somebody's there unless if they're not making noise. I can't remember.
Fuck, I've never heard of
that. I can't remember if he can even hear, to be honest. When
was this movie released?
70s.
Oh my 60s, god.
70s. Like, I can't remember if he can even hear. So, like, we see, like, but he's just there.
Yeah.
And so he starts doing, like, Morse code and everything, and then eventually there's a nurse who, they realize, like, his Morse code is kill me. So she, like, covers his face with a pillow to kill him, and the doctors, like, stop her, and they just, it's really bad.
Jesus
Christ. It's really bad. But then I was like, oh, Full Metal Jacket. I love Full Metal Jacket. And it was such a good... D'Onofrio is amazing in that movie. He's so, so good in that. And that was probably the first Kubrick film that I actually liked.
Yeah. I really need to see it. I haven't watched
it. I came around on 2001. I appreciate it. I still don't really like 2001, but I appreciate it.
I kind of want to watch it again because it's been such a long time. Mm-hmm. And the first time I saw it, I had no idea what the fuck was going on.
But yeah, I went with Full Metal Jacket. What about you, buddy?
I also went with Glory. Like, ooh, it was 100%. Glory was one of the movies I saw in middle school. And I remember seeing that. And that was so fucking impactful. Like, it's a... That's a good... I love that movie. Mm-hmm. I like, fucking good movie. But it also... I gave a better description of the idea of just because you fight together doesn't mean you always feel together. And that whole idea of like how you could be even segregated in the middle of like all the terrible shit kind of stuff. But I love that movie. That movie's really fucking
good. That's a really good one. All right. So for this week's pod question, I want to know if you could be a race car driver, what would you drive? And
like what car?
Well, I want to say race car doesn't have to be an actual car. So you could do motorcycles, you could do boats, you could do planes.
But you're not going to say something like sci-fi wise. It has to be a real...
No, like on Earth.
Okay.
Something that you are driving. And I don't want to say driver because then you could think of like driving, just like Uber or whatever. So if you... And I know it's not racing, but if you are a... And I'm sure the Her Life might be like, well, the technical term for that is... But...
God.
If you could be... A race car driver, of what sort of race car driver would you be? What vehicle would you drive?
Okay.
Let us know your answers at battenhammer@gmail.com, battenhammer on Twitter, Spriggins the Geek on Facebook. You reach me, I'm at Taru Skippy.
I'm at Craig Kalis. Make sure to like us, love us, and share us every Monday morning on SoundCloud, iTunes, and Stitcher.
All right, so if you don't want to hang around for the spoiler-filled review of Ford versus Ferrari, you do.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to episode 333 of Spriggins Say Geek. So for Spriggins Say Geek, I'm Bat.
I'm Hammer.
Embrace your geek.
Have a great week.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and get into our spoiler-filled review of Ford versus Ferrari. This is the story of...
Ford versus Ferrari.
The 1966 Le Mans... racing trial is what they basically call it. It's 24 hours of straight racing. Now, I thought it was 24 hours of straight racing. I didn't realize they had teams that they would have other drivers come in and relieve you. Like, I thought you were driving for... And I was like, that's fucking dangerous.
Yeah, I was like...
And that's pre-Red Bull and like...
Yeah. And that doesn't... No. I thought the same thing until, like, they said, oh, we'll have teams and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
But basically, Ferrari had constantly won Le Mans... Ford was barely competitive, and so they wanted to basically stick it to Ferrari and be like, hey.
Well, they started off by them trying to buy
Ferrari. They tried to buy Ferrari, and then Fiat bought Ferrari.
Because they just used Ford as basically a fluffer to get their price up, and then like, fuck you.
But yeah, so they decide they're going to build a race car to take down Ferrari. They hire Carroll Shelby, who...
So you want me to tell you, this is how little I know about cars and racing. I didn't know that Shelby was a person. I didn't know that Ferrari was a person.
Really?
Yeah, so that's what I was like, oh, the Shelby from like that, Gone in 60 Seconds.
I didn't know that Ferrari was a person.
Yeah.
Because I don't know a whole lot about cars. Ferrari.
Yeah.
But I didn't know like Carroll Shelby. He just died in like 15, 16 or 17. Like he just died recently. But yeah, he would take Ford, like the GT stuff, and then be like, okay, and now I'm gonna make it good. But
okay,
you know, it would basically double the cost of the car, so nobody, you know, the high end people would buy from him, but yeah, that's it. Like, it wasn't made for production. And now his name, even though he's gone, his name is, they still produce Shelby Mustangs, but it's not a Carroll Shelby Mustang. You know, it's just a, they put his name on it and they soup it up a little bit, but it's not.
It's more of a moniker than it is actually.
Like, yes, the they're using the name. And Shelby wants to run with his buddy Ken Miles, who's born a race car driver. Like, he doesn't learn to become a race driver. He is a race car driver, but he's very rough around the edges. Mm-hmm. And now, I don't know. This is obviously before my time, and I'm not a big racing fan.
Yeah, I mean, neither of us really
are. So, I don't know how much Ford was a villain in their own story in real life, but it's amazing how they wouldn't get out of their own way in this movie, and constantly were doing things to almost fuck themselves over.
I mean, it is and it isn't surprising, because it makes sense when you, like, he talks about it, it's like, you have, he talks about the red folder kind of thing. He's like, I saw it go through four people before it got to here. Not including the people that didn't get it before. Just shows how inefficient
death. And how much everybody wants to be involved in something that doesn't even involve them, usually.
Oh, yeah, because it's all about a giant vanity fair. Like, they want to be ahead. And even the dude who they've made up to be a big, big villain, the marketing guy. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, he's dying. I hate it. I'm sorry. Every time around this time of year, I fucking hate it.
It was interesting. I liked even the idea that he gave, hey, you're going to report to me kind of thing. But still, nah.
But after like, they had proven that they can do it, you just cut them off at the knees
every time
at the last second.
Yeah.
Even then, he's like, hey. And even after they had won the whole thing, Ferrari's completely out of the race, they're like, but wait.
Well, there's more. Yeah.
I really like Christian Bale in this because he had a lot of really, he's not funny, but he had really good comedic timing.
His eyebrows were great.
They're just his facial expressions and just, like, I don't know if he's a comedic actor and just goes into drama stuff because that's what he's more into.
Yeah.
But I was really impressed with the way that he handled a lot of the comedic stuff. But it didn't take away from anything either.
It added to it.
Yeah.
It's the same, I mean, between him and, I mean, even like kind of Matt Damon for the most part.
Matt Damon.
But for both of them, they kind of meld into, oh, okay, that's a character. Cool, I can follow along. I mean, I freaking absolutely loved Christian Bale in this.
Yeah, he was great.
He was fucking fantastic. Matt Damon was pretty good.
Matt Damon.
Yeah, he was.
I mean, he was Matt Damon.
Yeah, but fucking Christian Bale. God damn, dude.
Yeah, he was really good in this. I was very impressed with Christian Bale.
And I think he sold it for me. Because you have to watch him drive. And without that, you basically have the business end of it, which is Shelby. Mm-hmm. Which is Matt Damon. There you go.
Damon.
Oh, God. And then you have the action kind of like the hero.
The humanity, though.
Yeah.
And that's he has a family. Yeah.
Exactly. And it was a good, it was a good partnership between the two of those, as watching the characters play on field, because you got to see all the behind the scenes where it didn't get too boring, but then you got to see all the action with, like, Christian Bale.
Yeah, the last 45 minutes of the movie, it's just, almost an hour, is just racing. Yeah. But even then, they're at Daytona.
Oh, yeah, they're in Daytona. They did the, well, because he talked about the Triple Crown.
Yeah.
Because he won
he had won another race beforehand, but they didn't show that one.
Yeah.
But
it was a lot of fucking racing, and it was fun to watch. Like, even the Daytona one, where you're telling him to open up to, like, 7,000 miles, which I'm like, RPMs. I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ. But, like, my car would cry. My car would die. But it was exciting to watch. And it's hard sometimes. I feel like it shouldn't be as hard, not knowing anything. It shouldn't be as hard as it seems to be to make racing exciting. But then we see stuff like Rush, and we see something like this, and I'm like, I'm genuinely excited and invested in a race, which doesn't happen in real life.
No, because I can't watch. All they do is left-hand turns for 4 hours.
I like
the, and I was like, that's my boy.
He's like, take a left turn. Oh, God. But, yeah.
I like this.
I did, too.
I wish it had been in Dolby.
I really do, too. It was really odd choice to have Charlie's Angels.
Like, we got IMAX, and I was like, eh. Once you do Dolby, like, IMAX is nothing now.
So I saw Charlie's Angels in Dolby, and I will say that it wasn't as impressive. It didn't need to be. Like, it was just loud booms this would have been better to hear the engine.
Feel that roar. Yeah.
I mean, I'll take IMAX over normal standard format because
sure,
if that's all I got and that's what we had.
But I still prefer Dolby. But I do recommend this movie. I really liked it. And again, for people that aren't race fans, we're not race fans. We're not really car fans.
Nope.
For us to like a racing or car movie, you know, says something.
Also, just looking at the trailer, sold me. The movie kept me.
Yeah.
And that is awesome. And
it's I will go back and watch. What Rush is?
No.
Rush
is a lot of drama.
But it was friends being enemies, being friends, and pushing. Like, those and real life drama behind it. And this had some real life drama, and you know, Ken Miles died while testing.
Yeah.
But like, I enjoyed this. I had a good time with this.
I had a wonderful time with it. I really would recommend it. Hopefully you can get a chance to see it in Dolby, but I don't think you will.
Yeah. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, that was our spoiler-filled review of Ford vs. Ferrari. And you've been listening to episode 333 of Spreck and Say Geek. So for Spreck and Say Geek, I'm Matt.
And I'm Hammer.
Embrace your geek.
Have a great week. Take your medicine.